How many of y'all have been liking the last few weeks about the prophetic and the gifts of the Spirit and, you know, being in tune with God and being being able to learn how to be led by the Spirit? How many of y'all know that that's what God wants us to do? This is not some religious, legalistic do's and don'ts checking off a checklist, but we're meant to be in tune with our Creator, doing what He says to do, going where He says to go, and that's where we really experience the fullness of life and can bring the fullness of life to our circumstance, our situation, our city, our region, our family, wherever we're at. Come on. How many of y'all know that that's what it's all about? And I know that not everybody's called to be a prophet, but everybody is meant to be prophetic. And I know y'all have heard Sean say that, minister on that. You've heard Duel say that, minister on that. And what that simply means is that you just hear from God, huh? And you're in tune with Him, and you're doing what He says to do. You're saying what He says to say. You're going where He says to go, right? And I really love how Sean and Duel teach on it and preach on it, because they make it simple for everybody, because it's for everybody. And we've been raised in a church culture that tries to, well, it seems like in the past, it seems like that kind of stuff was just for special people or certain people or ministers of the fivefold or whatever, but it wasn't for everybody. And we have this mentality, or I've even had this mentality, that, you know, if God was going to speak to me or work through me, there's going to be some kind of thunder and lightning and the skies open up and this grand experience take place and, you know, this voice coming out of heaven. You know, it's not like that. We overcomplicate it, and we think it's going to be one thing when in all reality it's another, and it's been happening to us our whole life. We just haven't realized it because we didn't think it was that simple, right? But how many of y'all know that that's what we're created for? Okay? So why would God make it complicated? He didn't send Jesus to die on the cross, to pay the price for your sins, to bring you life, to make it complicated to communicate with Him, to be in tune with Him, to walk in to talk with Him. It comes more natural than we realize, because it's what we're meant for. It's what we're created for. But if we want to overcome, the hard part is not overcomplicating it. The hard part is not psyching yourself out about it. The hard part is not making yourself think it's some grand thing that the sky opens up or whatever. It's more simple than we realize. And when I started hearing teachings like this, I was like, man, maybe I'm more prophetic than I thought I was. Maybe I'm hearing God more than I thought I was. Has anybody realized that over the last few weeks? Come on, that God's been speaking to you all along, but you just thought it was your mind. You just thought it was your thoughts. You just thought it was, you know, the pizza that you, whatever. You know what I mean? But we're all meant for this. We're not all called to be prophets, but we're all meant to be prophetic, to be in tune, and to communicate with our Creator about what we're meant to be doing here in this life. Amen? And it's not, don't overcomplicate it. Just keep it simple. And one of the main things that Doyle has been saying over this house, and you know, is the vision of the house, is that this place shall be a holy place, right? And when it comes to the temple in the Old Testament, you got the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies, right? When it comes to hearing God's voice or hearing God's word, you got the graphe word, the logos word, and the rhema word. It's kind of like outer court, inner court, Holy of Holies. It lines up. The graphe is just words on a page. The logos is the word made flesh, or in other words, you understand the graphe and it becomes a revelation in your mind, and you can flesh it out and walk it out in your life. You can apply it to your life. And then you got the rhema word, which is the real-time spoken word of God, but that happens in the holy place. And if this is going to be a holy place, this is going to be a place that's filled with people that are hearing the rhema, real-time word of God, and moving when He says to move, and going where He says to go, and doing what He says to do. Amen? That's the vision of the house. This house is going to be a holy place. So that's where God's trying to get us to. Amen? That's where He wants to get us to. So I just want to keep going in that direction this morning, because the message that He brought back to my mind as soon as Duel asked me just lines up with this so much, but it kind of gives us a different perspective, or it gave me a different perspective when God first revealed it to me that I hadn't really ever saw before. But before I really dig deep into that, I got to really emphasize how important the Word of God is when it comes to being led by the Spirit. How many of y'all know that the Word and the Spirit agree? Amen? If your mind's not renewed according to the Word of God, then the Spirit can try to move on your life, but you won't live that out in the right way. You'll be living out heavenly commands in a worldly way if your mind's renewed to the ways of the world and not to the ways of God. Does that make sense? You got to get your mind renewed to the Word of God and the law of God. Come on, how many of y'all know that just because this is the covenant of grace, that doesn't mean that the law doesn't matter anymore, right? Come on, you got to know that. There's so many wrong mentalities in church culture today that, you know, we're under grace now, so the law doesn't matter. We don't have to worry about, you know, and I understand what they're saying, but I'm talking about like the Ten Commandments and everything that comes, you know, all the Word and all the Scriptures and everything in the New Testament really flows from the Ten Commandments, right? Come on, the law still matters, and I just want to show y'all that. Listen, if our hearts are not governed by the law of God, and our mind is not renewed to the Word of God, then we're going to miss it when the Spirit moves on our life and tries to get us to do what He wants us to do. We're going to miss it more than we realize. If we're always having a worldly mentality and we're not reined in by the law of God in our heart, then we're going to be missing what God wants us to do. God's not trying to restrict you to a sucky and boring life by giving you a bunch of rules and regulations and a checklist of do's and don'ts. It's not even about that. He's trying to set you up for success so He can move on you by His Spirit and do great exploits in this earth. You got to know that. You got to know that. But I just want to read a scripture in Matthew chapter 5. And the thing, we don't have the computer today. Y'all are like, man, where's the lyrics at? No wonder I can't get into worship. I don't even know what I'm singing right now. But we don't have the computer today. So if you got a Bible or a smart device, do not be on Facebook. I will throw this other microphone at you. All right? No, I'm just joking. But let's see. If you got a smart device or a Bible, go to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 17 through 19, if the law didn't matter now, Jesus wouldn't have said this when He first started His ministry, all right? And this is known as the Sermon on the Mount, one of the first things that Jesus did when He started into ministry. And He says this, He says, don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses. Y'all hear that? Didn't come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. So there was a purpose for the law that couldn't be accomplished without Jesus. So, amen? So He didn't come to get rid of that. He came to accomplish the purpose of that. All right? He came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom. Everybody say least in the kingdom. It doesn't say that you're not in the kingdom. It just says that you're the least in the kingdom. Does that make sense? So you can ignore the law if you want to. You're just not going to get very far when it comes to bringing heaven to earth and seeing the kingdom of heaven manifest on this earth. You'll be considered least. You're not going to be able to do much if you think that the law doesn't matter and you don't heed to it. Then it says this, but anyone who obeys God's law and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom. I don't know about y'all, but I don't like to be considered least. I mean, you know, I don't want to come in last place. I don't want to just barely get by the skin of my teeth. Come on, how many of y'all know that that's what the old covenant was all about? Everything that they did, all the sacrifices that they made, all the rituals they went through was just enough for them to barely get by and be forgiven of their sins. But in the new covenant, we're more than conquerors through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're meant to live life and life more abundantly. Our cup is meant to overflow in the new covenant. It's not about just barely getting by or focusing on a 10%. God wants your everything. Amen? He wants your everything. He wants your everything. But I mean, if the law didn't matter, Jesus wouldn't have said this. And He said, you know what? If you ignore the law, you're probably still saved, maybe. That's a whole nother message, that you're considered least. You know? You're not going to be able to get very far when it comes to seeing My kingdom and what I want to, My purposes come to pass in the earth. You're not going to be able to play a key role in that. How many of y'all want to play a key role? You're a part of a church. There's some things going on here, and we need some key players to get in the game and quit sitting on the sidelines thinking that it doesn't matter. All right? But here's the thing, guys. I really feel like this is important to understand. The law is just a means to an end. In other words, it just has a purpose to get us to a place. It's not just about the law. It's not just about being legalistic or religious. It has a purpose to get us to a place. How many of y'all want to see the purpose of the law achieved and want to get to the place that we're meant to get to because of the law? And I'm just going to explain that a little bit more. And one of the greatest ways that God ever showed me or examples that he gave me to help explain this to people is understanding what an operating system is. How many of y'all know what an operating system is? Like when you get on your computer, Windows XP is an operating system. Okay? Let me just give you the definition of, and I know some of you ITL folks has probably heard me, minister on this a little bit. And I hate even saying IT because we're one now, all right? But I know some of y'all probably heard me minister on this a little bit, but I'm trying to set us up to go somewhere. Okay, so I got to lay the foundation for everybody. But the definition of operating system is laws that govern the way something operates. All right? So if you got Windows XP on your computer, that's an operating system that it's the internal code written within the computer that governs how that thing operates. Does that make sense? You pull out your phone, you got an iPhone, every 2 weeks or every 2 days probably you get an iOS update, right? iPhone operating system update. That's what the OS stands for. Some of y'all are like, wow, I didn't even know that, But your iPhone has an operating system. It has an internal code written within the device that governs how that thing operates. And what that means is that if you want to log onto your phone and you want to accomplish a purpose, you have to understand how the operating system works. There's steps that you got to go through. Let's say that I want to get on my computer and type a paper. I got to go to the start button. I got to find the program. I got to double click it. The process that you go through is according to the laws that govern that thing. All right? You got to understand how it works or you're never going to be able to get your purpose accomplished. Does that make sense? Now listen, guys, God wants to embed his operating system into your heart and into your mind so he can log onto your system by his spirit and work through you into the earth. But if you don't have the operating system, if you don't have the laws, if you don't have the ways and the truth and the word of God in your heart and in your mind, he's going to be trying to log on and work through you and it's not going to work. He's not going to be able to get anywhere. Does that make sense? The law has a purpose to get us to the place of being able to be led by the Spirit. Being able to allow God to log on to us and move through us in a real-time way. Amen? I don't know how many of y'all got Windows 7 on your computer. I know when I first got on a computer and looked at Windows 7, it was so different than like XP that it frustrated me. I was like, man, I don't even know. I don't even know how to get anything done on this. Just put my original operating system back on this thing, so I can get my purposes accomplished. But the world has an operating system, and most of us think according to that more than we realize, and it makes it hard for God to be able to work through us because we're not thinking according to his operating system. We're not thinking according to his ways and his truth. Does that make sense? How many of y'all want God to use you in a mighty way? You want him to be able to log onto your system? Well, you better get your heart in line with the law of God. You better get your mind renewed by the word of God. Because if you don't, he'll be trying to move, but you'll miss it. You'll be living out heavenly commands in a worldly way. Does that make sense? How many of y'all ever had a computer that had a glitch in it? That you could probably do a little bit of stuff on it, but you couldn't do everything that you wanted to do. Huh? And that's how a lot of us are in the kingdom of God. It's like God can log onto our system and use us for a little bit of stuff. But he can't do everything that he wants us to do because we glitch out in certain areas because there's certain areas of our lives that still haven't been governed by the law of God or renewed by the word of God. Does that make sense? Come on, you got to get every area of your life under the government of the law of God and get your mind renewed to the word of God. Amen? Come on, if I'm still struggling with lust and pornography, then God can't work through me to help people who are still struggling with lust and pornography. I need to get that area of my life in line with the word and in line with the law of God if I want to be able to be used in that way. If I was still struggling with drug addiction and alcoholism, I wouldn't be able to be used to help people who are struggling with drug addiction and alcoholism. How many of y'all want to be used for every good work? Come on. Come on. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says something like this. I'm paraphrasing because I don't want to go there, but I just feel it on my heart. Says, in a wealthy home, there are utensils made of gold and silver, and there are some made of wood and hay. And he says the expensive utensils are for special purposes, and the ones made of wood and hay are for everyday purposes. Then he says, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil ready for the master to use you for every good work. Everybody say every good work. Come on, you want to be used for every good work? Well, the key is to keep yourself pure. Well, how do you keep yourself pure? Psalms 119 verse 9 says, how can people stay pure? By obeying your word. For I hide your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Come on, we have to have our hearts and our minds governed by the law and the word of God, or the Spirit's not going to be able to partner with that and work through us. We're going to have the wrong operating system. He's going to be trying to log on and do something. We're going to glitch out, and nothing's going to get done. We're going to miss the mark. Does that make sense? Let me give you an example that's not so robotic, all right? Because how many of y'all know we're not robots? Amen? But I just felt like, you know, that's a great example. But how many of y'all like basketball? Nobody. What game do you like? My goodness. All right, but let's say, like, basketball players. Before they can play the game of basketball, they have to know the rules of the game, right? They have to know the laws of the game, right? And after they learn that, they don't just learn the rules, but they learn the playbook, right? How many of y'all know that the Word of God is not just the rules, but it's the playbook, okay? And here's the thing. After they learn those things, it's not like they spend all their time out on the court focusing on, I can't do this and I can't do that. No, they just already know it, and they're shaped and molded according to it, to where they can focus on the purpose of the game and winning the game, and they can focus on the coach's voice who's calling the real-time plays. Do y'all want to be able to hear the Rhema Word of God and focus on the coach's voice, or are you going to be spending your time trying to figure out what the rules are and what the plays are and probably being put on the bench because you're fouling out? You know, that's where a lot of us are right now. God's put us on the bench because we just don't know the rules to the game. Huh? We don't know the plays. And yeah, we got passion. And yeah, we got zeal. But none of that matters if you get in the game and foul out. You need to get your life reined in by the Word of God and the law of God. And then God can put you in the game, and then you're not living your life focused on this. I can't do this. I can't. You ask a basketball player what he's focused on when he gets out on the court. He doesn't think about the rules. He already knows the rules. You're not meant to just focus on the law. The law has a purpose to get us to a place of being able to be put in the game and hear the coach's voice and win the game. Does that make sense? Come on. But if you're not getting, I hide your word in my heart. I don't hide your word on the desk, collecting dust, in the dresser. Come on. I don't hide your word in an app on my phone that I never open, but I'm hitting Facebook every 2 seconds, you know. Come on. You wonder why you're missing it? You wonder why you're frustrated? I mean, is your mind and your whole life really renewed according to the Word of God? And what's that scripture? Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then it says this, that you may be able to prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Outer court, inner court, holy of holies. There's a good will of God, there's an acceptable will of God, and then there's a perfect will of God. And you know, whether you're in one of those areas or the other is determined by how much your mind is renewed to the Word. Can you even hear the real-time voice? Because He's speaking. He's speaking all the time. But if you're just thinking according to the ways of the world, you're going through life, well, you know. And see, an example last week, this just came back to my mind. Some of y'all, up until last week, you thought that God was in control of the earth. Huh? And then Dole said, God's not in control, you're in control. And he showed you the scripture, the word, the law that proved it. But if you're always thinking that God's in control, then you're always trying to pass the buck and say, all right, God, you just do it. And God's saying, no, I put you in control. I have given the earth to the sons of men. So when your mind gets more renewed to the word, there's no more excuses. Know that he wants to move on, then you can operate according to his spirit that much more correctly. Does that make sense? Come on. And see, some of y'all, it's like you know the rules, but you get out on the court and all you do is focus on the rules. Oh, you better not do that. Oh, you better, and you're not even helping us win the game. Does that make sense? There's so many people that are just legalistic, that are just religious, that they're just checking off this checklist. When ball players get out on the court, they don't just check off a checklist or try to, you know, judge and condemn their teammates for missing it or try to correct them before they even make a mistake. No, they're all focused on the game. They're all running up and down the court trying to accomplish the purpose, listening to the coach. And they don't think about the law. They don't think about the plays. They already know that stuff. Amen? Good Word Ministries over here, Rambo. No, I love you, Rambo. I do, man. I do. Let me see if I didn't leave anything out. But how many of y'all know we're not meant to just focus on this whole right and wrong, legalistic thing? The law has a purpose to get us to a place. The Word has a purpose to get us to the place of being able to be led by the Spirit and hear the rhema Word of God and live out the holy call of God on our lives. All right? He's not trying to restrict you to a sucky and boring life and make your life miserable. He's trying to set you up for success, to be able to do mighty exploits in the earth. Amen? But, all right, I'm going to kind of shift gears real quick. If we go to the book of Genesis, we can really see where everything started to take a turn, go wrong. So if you got your Bibles, smartphones, whatever, well, I don't even know. I just want to talk about it. Let me just talk about it. Don't even worry about that. But how many of y'all know that in the book of Genesis, in the beginning, when God created, you know, Adam and Eve, they were brought forth into perfection, okay? And then they were put in the Garden of Eden, and there was the tree of life, and then the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? And in all reality, before they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they really had no real concept of what was right and what was wrong. All they knew was God and perfection, and they just lived from that place. Does that make sense? I mean, imagine that for a second. Like, there's no concept of really right and wrong. You're just focusing on God. You're just walking with God. And yes, good is coming from that because God's always good, right? But you don't even have nothing to compare it to because there hasn't been any bad, so you don't even know to call it good. It's just life. It's just God. Amen? It's just fellowship with the Creator. Just imagine that for a second. I know that that's hard for us to really wrap our minds around that because in this life, we're shaped and molded according to right and wrong from day one. High and low, light and dark. Right and wrong, good and bad. It like defines our whole reality. But Adam and Eve, when they were first created, it wasn't like that. It wasn't good and bad. It was just life. It was just God. It was just good. And they didn't even call it that because they didn't even know to call it that. It was just what it was. Does that make sense? Are you tracking with me now? All right. So they were living in this place that it was just perfection. And then when they ate from the tree, and God told them, if you eat from this tree, you'll surely die. And I'm about to explain that in a way, hopefully, that is different than you've ever seen it. But when they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it pretty much redefined humanity altogether. It changed the place that people live from. We stopped living from this place of just knowing God and good just flowing from our lives, and we started living from this place of trying to do things right and not do things wrong. Does that make sense? Come on, how many of y'all know it's not about just trying to do things right and not do things wrong? It's about just knowing God and letting His life flow from your life. So after we ate from the knowledge of good and evil, it's kind of like now this whole performance mentality creeps in and we're all trying to strive to be good and strive to not do bad things. And if we do one bad thing wrong, we try to make up for it by doing 10 good things right. How many of y'all ever made that your relationship with God? Come on, we've all been there. We've all done that. We've all been in that back and forth circus of condemnation to feeling like you're on top of the world because you're doing so many things right or so many things wrong. That's not the place that God wants us to live from. You got to understand that. We're not supposed to live from that place. Come on, there's been so many times in my life I was like, oh man, I messed up, you know. I said a cuss word. I feel condemned. I feel beat down. Now I got to go and serve at 3 outreaches to feel better about myself. Come on. If that's the essence of your relationship with God, then you're missing the whole point. You're missing the whole point. That's not how He wants you to live. That's not the life that Jesus died on the cross to give you. Forget the back and forth circus of right and wrong, good and bad. Let's get plugged into life and just let the life of God flow from our lives. Come on. Come on. And it says that Adam and Eve, before they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they, I remember Tammy Sutherland saying this one time when she came to minister. She says that Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. And she said a good translation or interpretation of the cool of the day is that they walked in the Spirit. Okay, that's what it means to walk in the Spirit. It doesn't mean to try to live your life trying to get things right and not do things wrong. It means live your life focused on God and let Him lead, guide, and direct you. Because how many of y'all know that you can do all kinds of right things and still be out of the will of God? It's not about right and wrong. If you try to live your life according to the knowledge of good and evil and trying to get things right and not do things wrong, you can still miss it. You can still not get to where God wants you to get to. That's not life. That is death. If you eat of this tree, you will surely die. You will surely be caught up in this back and forth circus that drives you crazy and eats you alive. It's not the place you're supposed to live from. We're supposed to be in tune with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. And see, the law was meant to get us back to that place. So the fall happened. The knowledge of good and evil, we go down this downward spiral of this back and forth circus of condemnation and feeling like we're great to condemnation and feeling like we're great. And we're so focused on trying to do things right and not do things wrong that we're not even focusing on God and hearing what He has to say about our lives. And it's causing us to be stressed out. It's causing us to be depressed. It's causing us to feel condemned and beat up and ashamed and unworthy. How many of y'all sick of that? That's not the play. That's not what your relationship with God is supposed to amount to. All right, I'm done with it. That's an inside joke between me and Sean. That's terrible. Now I'm thinking that way. That's terrible. Amen. Let me see if I forgot anything. You done threw me away. Come on, y'all give God some praise in here. Y'all get anything out of this? Okay, yeah, that's what I was saying. So the law was meant to get us back to the place of living from life, not living according to right and wrong. But, you know, the law without the Spirit just turns into legalism. Does that make sense? So Jesus came to fulfill the purpose of the law. He came to bring the Spirit back into the system that God wants to put in our hearts and our minds. You know, in Hebrews it says that the new covenant, God is going to write His law on our minds and our hearts. He's wanting to embed this eternal code of His ways and His truth into our lives, and that's meant to get us back to the place of living by the Spirit. But in the old covenant, the Spirit couldn't live on the inside of us, so the only direction that the law had to go was to legalism, religion, and tradition. Does that make sense? But Jesus came to fulfill the purpose of the law. He came to bring back the Spirit so that it could dwell inside of us. The sacrifice that He made and the price that He paid and the blood that was spilled makes it possible for the Spirit to live on the inside of us to fulfill the purpose of the law. Does that make sense? Is this making sense now? So it's not meant to get us to this place to where we're legalistic and we're still focusing on right and wrong and we're all built up in self-righteousness and thinking that we're something. No, it's meant to bring us out of that altogether and to live from this place of focusing on God and fulfilling His purposes in the earth. That's life. That's the only thing that brings life. So many people, they look good in the world's eyes. They doing a lot of right things, but they ain't doing a lot of God things. Y'all know, you've heard it. God's always good, but good isn't always God. If you're just listening to God, good's going to come from your life. But if you're just trying to do good or bad things according to the knowledge of good and evil and according to a carnal perspective, then you can look good in the world's eyes. You can look good in church's eyes, but you can still be way off because you're not hearing from God. You're not in tune with Him. And how many of y'all, if you try to do it according to right and wrong, the devil's going to be able to trick you, okay? Because there's all kinds of stories in the Bible to where, you know, God speaks and it doesn't line up with good according to a carnal perspective. Come on, he says, Isaac, or Abraham, go kill your son Isaac. Huh? Does that line up with good and bad? Right and wrong? If you're always trying to weigh things according to the carnal perspective of right and wrong and good and bad, you're going to miss God. He said, Gideon, go get 300 people and go to war against an army that's got 20 times more. In our minds, we'd be like, no, that ain't right. We ain't going to do that. Well, quit trying to figure it out in your mind and get in tune with God. Quit trying to just do the right thing or the wrong thing, or not do the wrong thing, and get in tune with God. He tells Paul, you need to go to Rome and preach. Huh? But in the carnal perspective, if he told us that, no, man, there's going to be shipwrecks, there's going to be beatings, there's going to be that ain't right. I'm not going to do it. Why would God want me to go through that? So if you're always trying to live from the place of the knowledge of good and evil, of right and wrong, then you're going to miss God a lot of times. Does that make sense? And see, that's when we start to realize why Jesus did the things that he did. That's when we start to see things from a different perspective. Because how many of y'all know that Jesus, he tells his disciples, let's get in the boat and go to the other side of the sea. Well, what do you mean? There's a storm coming. That ain't right. We need to wait. I don't care that I'm not going to be moved by the good and the evil that I see going on in the world. I'm going to be moved by the word of God. Does that make sense? So they get in the boat and they go to the other side and they don't, the storm comes, but they make it through it. Because the tree of life trumps the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and circumstances of right and wrong that are going in the earth. Okay? If you live from the place of the tree of life and being led by the Spirit and moved by the Spirit, it doesn't matter what kind of circumstance and situation you come into according to good and evil, you have authority over it. But you got to learn to live from that place. You can't let that place dictate who you are. All right? How many of y'all know that when Lazarus died, Jesus got the news, right? But he didn't go right then and go raise Lazarus from the dead. The knowledge of good and evil that he received, he wasn't moved by it. He waited on God to speak. But us right there trying to be good little Christians and good little, we got to go right now. We got to raise him up. We got to pray for him, before he even dies. Jesus wasn't moved by that. He wasn't moved by the knowledge of good and evil. He was moved by the Spirit. And he didn't care that it didn't look right in the carnal perspective's eyes. So he goes 4 days later, raises him up from the dead, and God planned it to be like that so everybody could see and they could bring glory to God as well. But in your natural mind, things like that aren't always going to make sense. That's why it's so important to not try to live from the place of good and evil, right and wrong, but live from the place of life and walking according to the Spirit. Does that make sense? I know this is kind of like hard to grasp, but is this giving you a different perspective of what's going on here? Come on. And see, when I first walked in today, Sean had his, he just got done doing the discipleship class. And I walked up here, and I was like, hey, man, what's up? And he threw his phone down. He's like, man, I'm trying to get away from this phone. And that just confirmed, whether he realized it or not, what I was supposed to preach this morning. How many of y'all got an iPhone? Everybody pull your iPhone out. You Samsung people are just weird, all right? But look on the back. Tammy Sutherland brought this out one time when we was at the 24-hour prayer. On the back of it is the apple with a bite took out of it, right? Yeah, now who's? I need to get a Samsung. I need to get saved. But look, when you get on your phone and you scroll down Facebook and you get on the internet, what are you taking in? Well, this is good going on in the world. This is bad going on in the world. This is good. This is evil. Bobby So did this. Bobby Sue did this. That's great. Joey did that. That's not good. And we're taking in the knowledge of good and evil every time we open this thing up. And then when we run into Bobby Sue, we interact with her according to the knowledge of good and evil that we have about her from Facebook instead of according to who God says that she is. Does that make sense? Come on. Good Word Ministries. Come on. Are you letting the knowledge of good and evil that you have about situations and circumstances and people dictate how you interact with them? Are you letting who God says that they are dictate how you interact with them? Then we get into soulless prophecies. Everybody want to use their gift in a soulless way. They read this and they read that, but you don't know that, so they're going to come up and act like they got a word from the Lord, but they're going off knowledge that they have about you, and it's bringing judgment and condemnation into your life instead of life into your life. You know? Come on. Ministers and ministries and churches minister from the place of the knowledge of good and evil more than they realize it. And they don't even minister from the place of life. Come on. They go on knowledge that they have, and they're so focused on right and wrong and religion and tradition that they ain't even hearing what God is saying in order for chains to be broke, in order for life to really come. And I'm not saying, listen guys, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a phone, that you shouldn't. God, let me just say this. I know I've heard this message. I've even preached this message. The reason that Eve got tricked into, you know, eating the fruit is because the enemy made her believe that she wasn't like God and told her that if she would eat the fruit, she would be like God. And the truth was that she was already like God. We've all heard that message, right? But see, the Bible actually says that after they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that God looked at them and said, now they are like us. Not before, but after. He said, now they are like us, knowing both good and evil. So we wasn't fully like God until we have this knowledge of good and evil. Amen? Come on, you get something. That's wrecking some of y'all. Like, hold up. Like, wait a minute. God wants us to understand the concepts of good and evil. He just doesn't want us to live from that place. He wants us to live from the place that trumps that, okay? Because this life is based on right and wrong, good and bad, and there's so many people out here caught up in that back and forth circus, and we got to be the people that are living from a different place to help bring them out of that. But if we don't even understand the concepts, then we can't even meet them where they're at. Does that make sense? So he wants us to understand right and wrong, good and bad. He just doesn't. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're living from a different place. We're living from the tree of life and what God says, and we're not letting information and circumstances and situations dictate how we interact in life and how we interact with people. We let the Spirit of God dictate that, despite what the circumstances and situations say. That's how you be led by the Spirit. Talking about, are you allowing information to dictate how you interact with others? You see somebody, oh man, I know that they was at the bar the other night. I'm going to step across to the other side of the street. What? Living from the place of the knowledge of good and evil. You seen something on Facebook and, oh, you know, Susie and Joey, they're at it again. They're split up again, you know. Ostracize them from the church. Jesus didn't live from that place. Why do you think he was willing to go and see the woman at the well in Samaria? Yeah, he probably heard the rumors. This girl's messed up. But he didn't let that dictate how he interacted with her. He let who God says that she was dictate how he interacted with her. So he's like, you know, we got to go to Samaria. And usually that was kind of out of the way from where they were going. But he was being led by the Spirit. He wasn't being led by what looked right according to getting from point A to point B. This is the quickest path. He was being led by the Spirit. All right? So he goes there, meets this woman at the well, the disciples, and Doyle uses this, you know, story, and Sean uses this story to teach about the prophetic as well. But, you know, the disciples go into town, and this woman shows up. And he really doesn't know anything about her as far as, like, specific details. But then what happens? He gets a word of knowledge. Knowledge about what? The good and the bad things that are going on in her life. So it's not that God doesn't want us to understand that, but when he gives us the word of knowledge, when he gives us the information, it's so that we can bring change to the situation, not condemnation and judgment. And one of the main reasons that the power of God is not flowing through our lives is because he can't even trust us with the information, because we'll just judge and condemn people instead of bring change to it. Does that make sense? Come on, you want word of knowledge and word of wisdom to flow in your life? You want the prophetic to flow in your life? You got to get out of this mentality of right and wrong. It's not about right and wrong. It's about bringing people out of that place and connecting them to the tree of life. You can live in that circus if you want to. I'm not going to do it. I've did it too long. I got to do this thing. Oh, I did this thing wrong. Oh, I'm walking around. Oh, I feel good about myself because I, you know. That shouldn't dictate who you are. That shouldn't define who you are. It's not supposed to. You got to learn to be in this world and not of this world. Yeah. But here, and the more you get, if you're getting on this thing and taking in knowledge of good and evil more than you're getting in the prayer closet and getting in the Word, guess which one's going to shine through your life the most? I'm not saying that you need to stay off that thing, but here's the thing. Jesus, he understood the concepts of right and wrong, but he wasn't trying to stay up on the times. He wasn't trying to get in the gossip. He was just trying to hear from God. And that's like, how many of y'all have ever been in a situation, it's kind of like somebody's in the hospital, you got the good and the bad report, you got the knowledge of good and evil about the situation, and you know, somebody calls you and you're like, hey, I need you to pray for this person, and what do? Well, tell me everything about it. I need to know all the details. And as soon as we start taking in that knowledge of good and evil, it's kind of like we end up in the mess with them and believing what the report says instead of believing what God says. All right? Does that make sense? I'm not saying that you shouldn't try to get the information, but if you can't let that dictate what God says about the situation. You got to be able to speak life into it anyway. You got to be able to speak something into that trumps all that. The blessing trumps the curse. Light casts out the darkness. Amen? Light casts out the darkness. Live from that place. And this is one of my favorite examples. Like, what's like the main kind of movies that people are drawn to the most? I think there's two, but I'm going to focus on one. And we even heard this in The Killing Kryptonite. We all love, or the women love, a good love story, right? Nah. But the guys all in here love a good hero movie, right? And the women love hero movies too. Y'all, how many of y'all girls done seen Infinity War, huh? It's okay. We're not going to judge and condemn you. We live from the place of life. But I love to watch hero movies. Why is that? Why do we love stories and hero movies? Because it's speaking to something that God put in us. We're meant to be lovers and we're meant to be warriors. And the thing about a hero movie is that it looks like the odds are against them. It looks like the circumstances and situations are going to prevail. But there's something that rises up in us when we watch that, because we're believing that there's some people that's going to rise up and tap into something deeper and change the circumstance and change the situation. Why does that attract us so much? Why does that hook us so much? Because it's speaking to who God created us to be in this life. But are we just going to sit and watch hero movies and play video games acting like a hero on a screen? Or are we going to tap into who God created us to be and really be that hero in this life? Really be that person that's tapped into something deeper and can bring change to any circumstance in any situation. We're speaking what God says. We don't care what the good and bad report says. Why do you think that draws you in? It's who you're meant to be. But you're allowing the world to give you that feel in a temporary way, and it's really robbing you from the true destiny that God's created you for. Come on. And I'm not just preaching you. This stuff God preaches to me. Like, quit sitting watching Netflix, you know. Wishing you was the guy on the screen and dive into what I've created you for and watch how I'll use you. You know? This is real. How many of y'all believe that God wants to do supernatural things through our lives? He wants to raise the dead. He wants to heal the sick. He wants to cast out devils. But if we live from the carnal perspective of right and wrong, it'll just be religious and traditional. Condemnation, self-righteousness. Get out of that altogether. Just be who God created you to be. Live from the tree of life. Know that what you're tapped into can trump all that stuff. Can change all that stuff. Be led by His Spirit. Be led by His Spirit. And just one last thing. Let me look through these notes, man. I know I'm leaving stuff out. I'm trying to give it to y'all the short version. I could go into a lot of different stuff, but I feel like y'all getting it. All right. All right, last thing. Oh, wait. Yeah, God told me this morning. Second to last thing. You know why a lot of us hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness? Because we're still in the mentality of somebody did me wrong and they didn't do me right. We're still in the mentality of right and wrong instead of life. Huh? And we hold on to the things because it was somebody doing us wrong and it hurt us. How many of y'all know that if anybody got done wrong, it was Jesus? But why wasn't he moved by that? Because he knew that that didn't dictate who he was. That didn't define who he was. He was tapped into something greater. It didn't matter that if anybody has a right to hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness, Jesus does. Paul does. You know, it didn't matter about all the bad situations that happened and all the people that stabbed him in the back and all the people that done him wrong. He said, Father, forgive them, for they just don't know who they are. They're not tapped into the tree of life like I am, and I can't let what they're doing to me start to define me. I got to be defined by who God says that I am, despite whether they're treating me according to that or not. They can treat me according to right and wrong, but I live above that place. I'm not even caught up in that circus anymore. When you really tap into the tree of life, bitterness and unforgiveness just start to go. Because you start to see people for who God says that they are instead of who they've been towards you in this life, according to right and wrong. You'll be like, what'd Stephen say when he was getting sown? He said the same thing as Jesus. Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. You know? And I know, like, I hear different teachings and different theories about the tree of life after we ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Some people think, you know, that the tree of life was raptured into heaven, but the Bible actually says that he didn't take it out of the earth, but he put an angel in front of it to guard it with a fiery sword. Okay? So we can still get to the tree of life, we just have to pass through the sword of fire. What's the sword?
The Word.
What's the fire? The Holy Ghost. So how do we get to the tree of life? How do we learn to live from that place again? We have to get our minds renewed to the Word. We have to get our hearts governed by the law. We have to learn to be led by the Spirit of God and the fire of God. Amen? And then we're tapped into that thing again. And we're living from a place that changes the circumstances and the situations around us. The Bible, In Galatians chapter 6, it says that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And I've said this before, but how many of y'all know that Jesus didn't just know the Word, he was the Word? So you don't need to just know the Word, you need to be the Word. You need to become the Word. And Ron's taught this stuff. You got to become love. You got to become the Word. See, when you become the Word, you become the sword in the Spirit's hand that he can use to rip through the fabrics of this reality and pour the realities of heaven in. But you gotta get the Word, you gotta get the law, you gotta get renewed in your mind and governed in your heart. And then God's gonna be able to log onto your system and work through you in mighty ways. You're gonna start living from a different place. You're not gonna be caught up in the back and forth circus of condemnation and guilt and self-righteousness, right and wrong, good and evil. Yeah, you're gonna understand that, and you're gonna be able to reach people that are in that place in order to bring them out of that place. And connect them to the tree of life again. Connect them to the Spirit of God again. What they're always meant for. Who wants to live from that place? Anybody? All right.